It's a joy and a privilege to be able to come here tonight and to tell you what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. I think I'm going to quote a verse, and if you would like to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17, it's been read quite frequently throughout this mission, but really this verse sums up my testimony. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I was born near Bush Mills in a place called Ballyness. If you know where the Creative Garden Centre is, I'm sure some of you have been there for coffee. Well, just at that crossroads, there's a farmhouse, and that's where I was born. And I went to Ballytober Primary School. I can remember my first time in church was with my dad. He took me to Dunluce Presbyterian Church. And all I can remember, it was like big wooden pews, and I just felt so small in this big church. But anyhow, whenever I was 7 years of age, my father moved to a place near Ballybogie, and it was another farm. At that stage, there were three children, and my father was called Sammy Torrance. And Sammy Torrance soon became well known for the man with the seven daughters. So everybody knew who he was because he had seven girls. So I was the eldest of the seven girls. And at that stage, we went to St. James's Presbyterian Church, to the Sunday School, and to the GB. As the children kept coming along, there always seemed to be another baby in the pram. I was the one that helped in the house. And my sister Jennifer, she was the farmhand. She was out in the tractor doing all the farm work. So I helped my mother, and I was doing the baking and looking after all these babies that were coming. And of course, I was the boss. Even though I was the smallest, I was still the boss in the house. And my sister still says I'm the boss, by the way. But there was many a fight in our house, I can tell you. And I was always tidying. And then there was other sisters who were not so tidy. And we lived in a bungalow. So my way of tidying up was I just threw all their clothes into the garden, and they had to go and pick them up. And that was how I tidied up the house. And Jennifer was quite frequently finding her clothes in the garden, I can tell you. So that was at that stage then. I came to this time where it was time to go to nursing. Now, my school years, I did not like school. I would have been mitching school every turnabout. I was there in the morning, but you would rarely see me in the afternoon if I could get away with it. I would be either at the back of the bicycle shed smoking, or I was down the street with my friends at maybe somebody's shop. There was a shop, we were friendly with the shopkeeper, and we would maybe go in there and smoke away and buy the cigarettes for 1p. That's what they were. So as I was getting older, my mum and dad were quite strict. We were brought up well, and dad was not very happy with us going to dances and things. So we were restricted to a certain amount in our teenage years. But when I went into nursing, I thought, this is great. Going to Belfast, freedom at last. I'll be able to do whatever I like. And so at that stage, I think I was 17, and went up to the nurse's home in Belfast City Hospital. And it wasn't the nurse's home, it was a nurse's prison. Because I'll tell you, there were wardens in it. It wasn't how you got out, it was how you got in again. That was how it was in those days. Those wardens, they walked up and down the corridors, they checked your rooms and all of this kind of thing. So if you were going out at night and you weren't in by the deadline and you were caught, then you were a matron's floor. Most likely letter sent home, and various types of punishment was given to you. So most of us always found ways of getting in, and many of the girls would, you know, the windows in the ground floor of the nurse's home opened about 68 inches. But I was built like a Teletubby, so there was no way I was going to get in a 6 or 8 inch window, I can tell you. I had to find other means, and some of us were built a bit like me as well. So we were able to get fire escape doors various ways, but we managed to get in from the dances at night, maybe 2 or 3 in the morning. We were climbing in these doors and all sorts of things like that. So I would go to different places. We definitely, being in a prison, as I talked about the nurse's prison with the wardens, didn't stop us going out at night. And we would go out to parties and things like that there. And whenever we were on our days off, some of my friends, one of them was my best friend was a Roman Catholic called Kathy. And she would come with me home, and we would go to Kelly's in Portrush here. It was Kelly's Barn, it was known as then. And so this was the kind of life that we did. We would have drank and smoked and did all the things that young people did. Kathy was quite a devout Catholic, so whenever it came to exams, of course, you know, everybody became very religious, and we all prayed, and I would go to Mass with her, and we would be like, they'd be lighting all these candles for me up at the Mass, and they'd be throwing holy water around me to help me to get through my exams. I don't know whether they helped me or not, but I know I did get through them eventually. But this is the kind of thing we did. We didn't, the troubles were on, but although we lived in the nurse's home and we were of different religions, it didn't really affect us because we all kind of got on and we were a team, really. So it didn't, the troubles at that time didn't really annoy us as nurses. And quite often we would have discussed things in our bedrooms about the different things that we would have been maybe encountering in the wards and things. But anyhow, as I was, we never had any money, of course, living that type of lifestyle. I think my first wage packet was £12 a month. That's what my wage packet was. So you couldn't buy very much in that, as you can imagine. So we were always hitching lifts. And one day, it was a lovely summer evening and, or afternoon, and we were hitching a lift, Kathy and myself, to Ballymoney. We got as far as Ballymena. And then we got a lift with this man and his van. And we weren't in very long until he started to talk to us about Jesus. And I thought, oh my goodness, we've got a lift with some of these religious boys. Oh, well, I'll soon sort him out, was my attitude. I give him what for, and he'll not ask me. He'll not preach too long to me. So he started to talk to me about the Lord. And of course, I had all these arguments, and I would have argued back with him. And you know, his name is Albert McCauley, and I don't know if you know Albert, but Albert was a godly man and a very quiet-natured person. And while I was getting ratty and giving all these arguments, he quoted the Bible, and he would say, you know, there's a wee verse in the Bible, and it says this. And I thought, oh dear, I can't really argue with that, because I had been brought up in the church, and I knew the Bible was God's word. And I couldn't really argue about God, against God's word. And I thought when he quoted the Bible, I couldn't argue against him. So he really did stump me on those things that I was kind of arguing with. And eventually, by the time he got to Ballymoney, I had got so ratty because I was not getting the better of this man. This man was so humble and gentle and very nicely quoting the word of God. Yet I was so cross with him. I thought, this man is driving me nuts. I couldn't wait to get out of that van. I really couldn't wait to get out of the van because I was really, the word of God was really touching me. So when I got out, when we got to Ballymoney, I banged the door of that car as hard as I could. I thought, thank goodness to get out of that van. And I was walking down the street and I says to my friend Kathy, I says, you know I'm not right. Because, you see, the Lord had spoken to me through that man. And that was the beginning of a change in my life that made me start to think about what kind of a life am I living. And I knew myself there was something empty in my life. Even though I was living what everybody would have thought a really happy life and enjoying life, like what everybody would be doing nowadays. But inside me, I knew after that day there was something missing. And that missing thing was the Lord. But I didn't want to admit that. Kathy says to me, well, I know I'm right. And I thought, my goodness, she's a Roman Catholic. Maybe the Roman Catholic faith is right. So I went to talk to a nun in Cookstown, which is where she came from. Of course, I would have gone to Mass there or her anyway. So, you know, I was in and out of the chapel, like I don't know what. So the nun knew me, and I spoke to her, and I said, well, you know, I really don't know. I don't know what to believe anymore. I says, I just know I'm not right. And she says, well, I pray for you. And she gave me I think it was 12 steps into the Roman Catholic Church. And I think since that, maybe there's a booklet by Father Chinnicky, I'm not sure, but 12 steps to Christ are out of the Catholic Church. I think there maybe was something written the opposite to that. But anyhow, I started to go to church, and James Hanna lived at the foot of our lane, and they were Free Presbyterians. And him and his mum would have gone to Ballymoney Free Church, and they would have invited me along to gospel missions. And I used to try and make every excuse out of the sun not to go. and I'm sure there's maybe some of you who are trying to do the same tonight, the same as me. But eventually I would run out of excuses, and I thought, oh, just give me headpiece. All right, I'll go just to sort them out and give me headpiece. So I would have gone, and you know, I heard the word of God there once again, and I was challenged, but I would have come out quite angry, and I thought, I really don't want to live this life. That's not the life that I want to live. But deep down inside, I was not happy. Then I was about 6 or 9 months after we'd got the lift with Albert, I'd been reading gospel tracts. I started to read my Bible, and I was really concerned. And one night we were in Kelly's barn, and a friend of mine who I went would have known from when we were in the GB together, and she said, I knew she was in the Salvation Army, and she says to me, we're having a thing up in Belfast, it's for youth, it's for young people. Would you like to come to that? And I said, yeah, okay. So, and we arranged to meet, and I went to that youth council meeting with her that night. And I was amazed at how many young people were there, because I always thought people that were saved and Christians were all old fuddy duddies, you know. And I couldn't get over how many young people, and they were so full of the joy of the Lord. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is really different. So I don't know really what the preacher was saying, but I know he was preaching the gospel, and he made an appeal at the end, and there was lots of young people went up in that appeal, and I sat on in my seat, and at this stage I was struggling, really struggling, because I knew that I had to make a change in my life, and I knew that God was speaking to me, and I felt that night, if I go out of this place tonight without the Lord, I really do feel it, maybe my last chance, and I felt so strongly, and yet within me there was this battle going on in that seat. It was a huge battle saying to me, you'll never stick it. You know, what would your friends say? But I knew that I had to choose Christ that night. So I stood up and I went to the front of the church. And when I stood there, I didn't know what to say or what to do. But all I can say to you is that there's a lovely words of a hymn that I would sing sometimes. And this is what it was like when I took that step forward for the Lord. I stood one day at Calvary where Jesus bled and died. I never knew he loved me so, for me was crucified. And as I stood there in my sin, his love reached down to me. And the shame that filled my soul that day at Calvary. And you know, when I went to the front, it was as if the Lord was just in front of me on the cross. And I realised that he died and shed his blood for me. And I realised how sinful I was. You know, you only, perhaps you think, oh, only I don't sin a lot. But you know, when you stand before a holy God, when you stand in the presence of the Lord, you know how sinful you really are. And I realised that I was a sinner that night. And I asked the Lord Jesus to come. I didn't know what to pray. I just said, Lord, just come into my life and change me, for I can't change myself. And that night I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart. And you know, when I did that, I had this wonderful peace that came into my life. I just couldn't explain it. Just this peace came flowing into my heart. And I knew that things had changed within me. The Lord Jesus Christ had come to dwell in my heart. I got up and I didn't really know anybody. And my friend, she had come up as well. And we just talked for a little while, and then I went back up to the nurse's home. And the first place I went to was to my best friend, because we all share our secrets with our friends. And I wanted to tell her, because I was so happy. I had this joy and this peace. And I was so happy that the Lord had come into my heart. I just thought, this is so something I never, this was what was missing. I went up to her, and she was on night duty in the ward, and I went into the ward and I says, Kathy, something wonderful has happened to me. And she looks at me and she says, you've got saved. And I says, yes. You see, in the nurse's home, we would have gathered into each other's rooms, and we would have sat and smoked and discussed religion, we discussed politics. That's what you did in those days. And we had discussed about getting saved. So she knew that I had been really torturing myself and going over this in my own mind. And she says, you've got saved. So I told all my friends, and the spread, being in a nurse's home, you know, word spreads very quickly, especially if you've been one of the social people that's been out and about, that suddenly you have got saved. And Very soon everybody began to find out, and the Christians that were there that I really would have had nothing to do with then stopped me, and one of them said to me, you know, you were so bad we wouldn't even have thought of praying for you. That's how bad I was. And they were so shocked. I started to go to the Salvation Army after that, and I really felt I should join the Salvation Army. And so I donned the Salvation Army uniform. And on the Salvation Army uniform, it was one of the old uniforms with your wee bonnet and everything. And it said S&S. And to me, that meant saved to serve. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to serve the Lord. And you know, my life had changed dramatically. Now, I remember Albert saying to me, I said, you know, I couldn't live this life, and I want to, I still enjoy my smoking and my dancing and all. But you know, he gave me a very, very simple example. He said to me, if you were going into a room and you saw a little child with a sharp knife in its hand, and you go to take that knife from that child, it'll hold onto it really hard because it doesn't want to give it away. But he says, if you give that child an orange, it'll drop the knife and it'll take the orange. And he says, when you come to Christ, he says, you don't want anything to do with the life you had before because you've got something better. You've got the Lord. And that's what happened to me. Nobody told me to stop smoking. Nobody told me to stop drinking. Nobody told me not to go to dances. I remember my friends ringing me up the next week, are you going to Kelly's tonight? And I said, no, I'll never be back there. I've no desire to go there. And as for the smoking, well, I still have wanted to smoke because I had the urge, but still it's like a drug, I suppose. You still have the desire to do it. But every time I went to light a cigarette, it was like lighting a bomb. I just couldn't do it. And I had to fire the cigarettes in the bin. So I had no desire. I just didn't have a desire to do the things I wanted to do anymore. The Lord had changed my life. He'd given me a new life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. And he does make you new. And he takes away the desires that you would have had before. I joined the Salvation Army, and I was going out into the pubs with them, giving out the war cry, giving out tracts, and just going out into open airs and doing things like that. And I found it challenging, but it was very good. It was good to be so active for the Lord. And the wardens in the nurses' home, I think they nearly had a heart attack the first day they saw me going out in my uniform, because they were so used to checking up on me. And I think, I don't know what happened, but somewhere along the way, Alf McCreary from the Telegraph must have found out about me being saved, because I don't know if you ever read the Telegraph, but he was a man many years ago. He did a lot of work on, he would have had a focus page where he would have focused in on people. And he came and did a whole hour's interview with me, and I really had a great time with that man, listening to him and telling him about the Lord. And he did print it, so he did, I can't remember what it was, but I know it was a fairly good article he printed. So I went to Ballymoney Free Church when I would go home, and very soon I realised that I needed the Word of God, and I felt that I was being spiritually fed in the Free Church. It's good to be active, but you need to also have the Word of God. You need to have that spiritual food to be able to nourish your soul. Just as you need food for your body, you need the Word of God to nourish your soul. And so I started to go to the Free Church, and I very soon realised, yes, I think this is where the Lord really wants me. And I began to realise that, yes, you just don't hop in and out of things. I had to pray and ask the Lord's will for my life. And that has been since I've been saved. Every step and every move that I have made throughout my nursing career and in everything that I've done, I've always thought the Lord's will, is this where you want me? And you know, there's nothing better than being in the centre of the will of God, of knowing that that is where he wants you. And you know, tonight I can recommend the Lord Jesus Christ, because I have never regretted that step I took that night of asking him into my life. And I cannot say to you tonight, he is a precious saviour. If I could take you by the hand and lead you to him, I would do it right now. But that is your decision. And I can only say, he will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. We may grieve the Lord. We're not sinless, because while we're in this body, we will still sin. But the only thing is that you have the Lord, and he will take you. He will be with you, and he'll never forsake you.